And I am so excited this morning. We have a special guest speaker today, and he comes from Developing Great Relationships. This is who we are doing our marriage conference with. And so with that, I would like to invite Brian Davis to the stage this morning. Can we? Thank you.
Can you just give a round of applause again for your pastor, Mike? He's a passionate man. And Alicia, too. So great to meet Alicia this morning. And I'm going to do something different. I'm going to pull a fastball. But hopefully this won't mess up the camera. I can sometimes be a nightmare for the cameraman. So I want to give you just a heads up on that. Sometimes I just like to move. But God bless you. You look good this morning. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm glad you came. Now look at your other neighbor and said, you still need help. And you'll just have to figure that one out. That's all I can say. So we are extremely, Pastor Mike, thank you for the invitation and just really how the Lord connected you and I. And we're just thrilled. Pastor Mike has been to our facility in Pella. It's the Strawtown Inn, and that's where my office is, but that's where we host retreats for couples, for churches all over Iowa. Matter of fact, we had a Nazarene church this past weekend that my wife and I did. They came all the way from Tiffin, Iowa, and they also have a satellite church in Cedar Rapids. And so they came in, and just it was their first time coming, had a blast. I'm going to talk more about that towards the end of the message. But I want you to just know this, a couple things. Number one is, I'm going to have my babe. Now see, I can only call her babe. She's my babe, but I've told her that for many, many years. But this is my lovely bride, Paul, if you'll stand. And we just celebrated 31 years of marriage. Pastor, I was in a church the other day, and a fellow came up, an older gentleman, and I shared that, and he goes, has that been your only wife? I've never in all the years... after I preach a message, but maybe that's the day we're living in. I just don't know. And I said, yes, and I hope so. And so we're just glad to be here. My accent is a little bit funny. I'm from southern Iowa. You're looking at me going, no. I'm originally from South Carolina, born and raised. And my wife is from Alabama in a small town called Talladega. A lot of people know it, and they want to call it Talladega, but it's Talladega if you're a southerner. But NASCAR is known there. And but she was born there, but really wasn't raised there. Her daddy is a chaplain retired in the Assemblies of God and lives in Springfield, Missouri. And so him and his wife, her mother, Mildred, we just love them. She's about this tall. But don't let that size fool you. Same with my wife. I love her to death. She's about 5'2", but she's every bit of 5'2". And I'm glad to have her, and I'm just so glad she said yes when I asked her to marry me. And so what you see with Paul and I is what you get. We actually are the couple that's going to be with you when you guys come in May. And so we're just excited to have you. I promise you, you will not be bored. You will learn something. We'll have a lot of laughter together. But here's the big deal. We're going to eat like no tomorrow. I don't know if y'all say that in Iowa. We say that down in the South. If you leave this retreat hungry, it's your fault, not mine. Okay? Because I'm telling you, you'll come lunch. You'll go, we're going to eat again. It's all buffet. But we'll talk about that at the end. And I'm going to talk to you this morning about marriage, but I've already asked our ushers if they'll go ahead and lock the door because I don't want anybody running for the door because when we talk about marriage, but I'm just teasing. But there are some folks that say this. They make this comment, hey, now listen, let's don't stir the pot. If everything is going good, why mess it up? So I want to stir the pot a little bit this morning, if that's okay. But I'll do it in the most gracious way that I can. But we must, because we're living in a day and hour, that the divorce rate in America is exactly the same in the world as it is in the Christian realm. We're at about 44%. Iowa's divorce rate is 41%. So it's a little bit better. Maybe it's because of the corn. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. You folks know corn, and you know that sweet corn. My goodness. I think the Lord just comes down and enjoys that every once in a while. But it's so good. But your pork here is amazing. So there is a difference. The statistics today are that couples wait 7 years too long to get help. And so we wonder why things blow up. And I tell you, I had a pastor come to me from Newton the other day, Pastor Aaron, wonderful man of God. He sat down with me. He said, we had two couples in the last year. Their church averages about 80 in attendance. He said, we had two couples that had a divorce. He said, we never saw it coming. Nobody knew. So typically those things kind of can get pushed or shoved aside. But we're going to look at some things today. My wife and I live in Pella, Iowa. We've been there about 4 years. We are presenters at Developing Great Relationships. We are a biblically based enrichment center. Let me share this with you, because we get this since I've been here. Some churches feel like we're a reformed ministry. We are not. We're interdenominational, but we believe a marriage. We believe a marriage is between a man and a woman. And we love people. We love people, but we get asked that from churches. From churches that call today about what is your stance on marriage, and so what does that look like? So we give them a biblical interpretation of that. But we travel. My wife and I travel locally and also nationally. We get to speak at different conferences and churches, and we're just so honored to be here in New Sharon. And this is a beautiful town. My wife and I, at different places that we've been, we drive through New Sharon. And it's just a neat, neat town. And so we're excited to be here. And we're excited that you're going to be doing a marriage adventure with us. If you're in here and you're thinking, well, I'm over 60 and my marriage is good, that it probably is, but we want you to come anyway, because we're going to have a good time. We need you there. We had a couple this past weekend, 68 years old, been married 39 years, and their anniversary was yesterday. And they came, and it was amazing what they shared and what the Lord did in their lives. So we want to encourage you, but we'll talk more about how to register for that. I think we've got 5 couples, and we have 4 slots left, but we're going to have a great time. It's going to be good. So we just believe this: if marriages are thriving in a church, we just feel it, that the church is going to thrive. That's it. They kind of go hand in hand. By the way, young lady that sang this morning, in the South, we say it like this: you got some pipes. You sound good. So I want to let you know that. The whole praise team, God bless you. The songs, we loved it. My wife and I just felt at home. And but this message that I want to talk to you this morning as well, and I believe Jesus wants to heal some marriages, and maybe not just talking about marriages here, but in your family. Maybe it's your neighbor. We have churches, we're learning from them, but we'll have churches when you text the word engage, the name of your church, to that number that we'll talk about later, you can literally take that link, it's on your phone now, and you can ship it to your neighbor to your right, neighbor to your, if I didn't ask you about that, Pastor Mike, you're going to have to forgive me. But it's a wonderful evangelistic tool. We've had churches to do that. Couples come from the community. They connect. They start attending church. It's happening. So everybody's like, and if they know you're going, hey, I'm going to this marriage retreat. I want you to go. And if you sweeten the deal that I'm going to give $50 to help you go, it's amazing he'll go. It's just amazing how that works. So, but this morning, I really believe Jesus wants to strengthen every marriage in this house. All of my points are going to be on the big screen. The title of my message is Marriage. So feel free to grab your cell phones this morning, snap some pics. I'm okay with that. So you'll be able to go back and maybe to apply what is being said today, okay? But a first few things I want to share with you. The Bible, your Bible, records the creation of marriage in the 2nd chapter of the book of Genesis. Many of you know that. You remember this question or this sentence. This is now the scripture. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, everybody say, for this reason, A man will leave his father, this is amazing here, and mother, that was your opportunity, that if that hasn't happened, you need to say, listen up, and be united to his, some of y'all, that went right over you. You just stay with me, we'll come back around the block and get you. And they will become one flesh. Say that with me, one flesh. So listen, God creates and establishes marriages, not man. God does. So if God established it, if God ordained it, if God created marriage, then why don't we find out what his plans are? Now, I get a little bit excited, Pastor, and I love your passion. But I can, if you want to talk about fleas on a dog, I can get passionate about fleas on a dog. But I really like to get passionate about the Word of God. Somebody shout amen. Because it's alive and it's living. And it has changed my life. And I know that it has changed your life. But if God created it, let's find out his plan. So, just maybe, his ways could be higher than our ways. Just maybe. So tell your neighbor, I'm so glad you came to church this morning. Tell them again, so glad you came to church. So this morning, I believe the Apostle Paul gives us some hope today in Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to have this up on the screen here in a moment, but we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5, and it pertains to marriage. And so this morning, we want to quickly unpack this for you today, but I need all the single ladies, all the single men, and all students or teenagers that are still here, don't check out on me this morning. I promise you, don't do it, because there is stuff here that you need to know for your future, to pray for your family, and for you to pray for a possible future mate. Did you know I wanted to be married, Pastor? I remember in high school, a sophomore, and the English teacher asked, who you guys in here want to, who anybody wants to get married? Me, and I remembered him, Philip Escher. You remember him. Philip Escher. He and I both went like this. And you could look, people in 34 students, everybody looked around like, you're thinking about marriage? Yeah, I'm thinking about marriage, because I just knew how my mom and daddy raised us. You know, and there's just some things that you get to enjoy when you get married under the I don't think I have to go any further, under the umbrella of God. Somebody shout amen. Boy, that was a big amen back there, brother. God bless you. So we'll keep everything PG. We know that. One of my favorites, though. Oh, but before we unpack Paul's perspective, sometimes it's good, it's okay to hear some other people's perspective on marriage, amen? No better perspective than to hear the way children see marriage. One of my favorites is Eric's. This is a true story, who's age 6. He was asked the question, what is marriage exactly? He says marriage is when you get to keep your girl and don't have to give her back to her parents. Somebody say amen. I love what little Pam said, age 7, when she was asked, when is it okay to kiss someone? And she says, when they're rich. I'm going to add to that, when they're saved and born again and rich. It's good. Roger, age 8, Pastor, this is hilarious, was asked, how can people make love last? And Roger, 8-year-old, said this, don't forget your wife's name. That will mess up the love. How many of you know Roger ain't lying, right? Okay, get ready. Just a couple more. Freddie, age 6. Young man says, he asks, what's the right age to get married? Freddie replied, no age is good to get married at. You got to be a fool to get married. Oh, my. Maybe he's seen something at home that he doesn't, I went there, that he doesn't like. I don't know. But this is my favorite. Oh, Ricky. This is my favorite. Man. Ricky says it like this. This is my favorite. When asked how best to make a marriage work, Ricky replied, tell your wife that she looks pretty even if she looks like a truck. That's my man Ricky right there. Come on now. So some of y'all are already thinking, I'm going to this marriage retreat. We're going to learn something, and we might meet Ricky. I'm just teasing. The Apostle Paul is going to unpack some things for us this morning that I think is going to give us some insight. And it's going to also maybe surprise you what the Apostle Paul says. I'm so glad Pastor called yesterday and said, hey, we typically get out at 1:30 p.m. on Sunday. So I'm going to do my best to get you out at 1. And we're just going to get you out a little early. Oh, no, maybe I didn't hear that right. I'm teasing. We won't keep you much longer. If you have your Bibles, turn in Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be looking at 10 verses together, starting with verse 22. This is particularly in the NASB. And so let's check this out. I'm a big fan of King James. I'm a big fan of NIV, ESV. I don't preach a lot out of the NASB, but I do like this. And it's part of one of my study Bibles. But verse 22, look at this. I think we've got it up on the screen for you as well. Wives, be subject to your own husbands. Can I just share something with you? And today, that can suck the air out of the room in churches of America. Because I think they've been told a lie, or they bought into a lie. But just let's read the whole Bible. Let's read the whole scripture. Wives, be subject to your own husband as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church. He, Christ himself, being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be their husbands in everything. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave, everybody say gave, himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory. There's a lot going on here. We're going to unpack it. Just a minute. Having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. 28, verse 28. So husbands ought to also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. Verse 29. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it, cherishes it, just as Christ, we should, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. Look at your neighbor and say, you are a member of his body. Tell him, I like it when you help me preach. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. I like this next verse. Paul says something here. Look at verse 32. This, don't miss it. This mystery is great. So if your home ever feels a little bit like a mystery at times, your relationship at times, you're in good company. Because the Bible says, he says it right here. This mystery is great. But if you have a husband that rolls his tube socks all the way off like a little frisbee and throws them around the bedroom because it's just kind of fun to do, it's a mystery. Somebody say, oh my. But I love this. Nevertheless, each, verse 33, each individual among you also is to love his own wife. He's talking to the men here. Even as himself. And the wife must see it that she respects her husband. Okay, strap in. We're getting ready to get on the roller coaster. We're going to take you pretty quick. Because there's going to be a shift, I hope, in your thinking this morning. But at times, it's going to come at you, hear me, like a tornado. But just hang on, okay? Let me tell you what blew me away. Because I was thinking through this message this past week and really just trying to unpack this. And because anytime you're going to speak on marriage and the home, many times you draw, we do this, Pastor, from our personal experiences, right? But I really felt the Lord for me to not do that. I got tons of stories to tell you, don't we, honey? Tons of stories. Things to never do. Things to do. Things to absolutely not do. Oh, we could do that. But I really wanted the Scripture, the Word of God, to speak for itself. And so here's the part that blew me away is the numbers here. You ready? I got a slide for you. It's 2 verses 9. What are you saying? Here's what blew me away. Pastor, this is what blew me away. That you ladies only get 2 verses and we men get 9 verses in this whole section. It's almost like God is saying, you ladies get it quick, but you men, it's going to take you 9 whole verses for us guys to figure it out. Somebody shout amen. He just loves us maybe a little bit more. I'm teasing. And here's what's crazy. When I think about it, is it really because men that were slow, hear me, or just don't get it, or it just takes that much more time? I want to tell you something this morning. As I started to really think through about this today, there's a principle that I've learned, Pastor, over the years. I don't think I've ever seen it disproven. I'm going to say it. You can disagree with it. You can tell me afterwards. You could disagree with it afterwards. Just say it real nice. With a smile. We do this in the South. Here's what we do. Oh, young lady, bless your little heart. And if that dress is ugly, boy, that's an ugly little dress. Bless your little heart. See how it kind of softens it up? So if you don't like the preaching this morning, just I don't really care for your preaching. Bless your little heart. It just comes across like a peanut butter on jelly. If you ever had a peanut butter sandwich with no jelly, it's just not the same. You got to have a little bit of that sweet stuff to help the peanut butter go down. It's just good. So, but this is what I found out, Pastor. And I've got a slide for you. A husband living passionately, look at this, for God inspires the wife to do the same. This is what I've seen over the years. But the opposite is rarely true. What are you saying? When I've watched and counseled, as you guys have too, marriages, when a man is passionately pursuing God and in love with God, I've watched his wife and family go along with him. But when it's happened the opposite way, a wife is pursuing, not in every case, a wife is pursuing God and the husband is not, it rarely has changed. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it can be a huge hurdle to jump. And I just have this sense that the Apostle Paul, through the writing of this scripture, really wanted to challenge the men in love, the husbands, because of how important this is. And the best way I can explain the challenge for us, guys, it was when I came across an incredible story of a single mom. And this is what she was saying. A mother was preparing pancakes for her son, Kevin, who is 5, and Ryan, who is 3. And the boys started to argue of who was going to get the first pancakes off the skillet hot. And their mother saw this tremendous and great opportunity to teach them a Bible lesson in this moment. The kids were fighting. It's my pancake. No, it's my pancake. And the mom says to both of them, Ryan and to Kevin, if Jesus was sitting here at this table, would he say, let my brother have the first pancake? I can wait for the next one. And at that statement, Kevin turned to his younger brother and he said, you be Jesus this first time. What that meant was Kevin was going to get the first pancake. That's what that meant, guys. That's just what that meant. So, men, you ready for this? Let me tell you the challenge Paul is giving us in this passage of Scripture. This is a really important challenge, and you need to write this down. I don't think I have a slide for this. So, men, it's real simple. You have to be Jesus. You have to be Christ-like in that relationship. That's the challenge of Paul. He says, what I'm about to tell you is, you have got to be Jesus, his ways, his thinking on this, and let the pancake slide on this one. Let me help you for a minute. Being Jesus, because there is a lot of sides to Jesus. Did you know that? Let me explain. Paul is giving some incredible insight in Ephesians because it's not always going to be the all power and authority Jesus or teacher sermon on the mount Jesus. It's not the I've got Satan under my foot. He's all that. Yes, he's all that. You ready for this, man? The illustration we get right here in Ephesians, you ready, is Jesus, what we call on the cross. He's the cross Jesus. Right here in the book of Ephesians. That's who we get. And this is what he says. It's huge. Let me tell you what the cross Jesus means. Put this back up on the screen. You're doing wonderful back there, by the way. Ephesians 5:25 says, it's in that passage, verse 25 says, it says, husbands, love your wives. You're seeing this? Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. And sometimes we miss this last part because we don't like it. He gave himself. This is the cross. This is, he's speaking of the cross. And gave himself up for her. Let's pause just for a moment. Listen, if you're a single mom in this place today, listening online or later, you're, in my book, a superhero. Can somebody say amen? You're a superhero. I'm just telling you, in my book, you're a superhero. When I think about the role as a husband, a father, it's hard enough to do this with my wife. But to think about you filling both of these roles, you're a superhero. Let's go back to the husbands. Throw that last verse up on the screen, Ephesians 5:25. It's probably still there. When he says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Do you know what the Apostle Paul just said? Jot this down. Marriage is most like the crucifixion of Jesus. Hang in there with me for a minute. Not the resurrection Jesus. Not the ascension Jesus. We know that through Scripture. Not the walking on the water Jesus, but the cross Jesus. Hang in there. Man, get ready. What the Apostle Paul does is this is what he does. You can jot this down if you're taking notes. Men are shown a cross for our leadership, not a throne. I will say that again. Men are shown a cross for leadership, not a throne. Look at your neighbor. Say, we're going somewhere this morning. Go ahead and tell them. Say, just preach it with them. Say, hey, honey, if it's your honey beside you, we're going somewhere. Don't do it to the person that just showed up today. That'll be kind of weird. He doesn't show them a throne, but sometimes that's what we think, right? All you wives, be subject to me and in everything. And the Apostle Paul says, no, that's not your position. Your position, husbands, is the cross. That last line changes everything. He gave himself up for her. If you're taking notes, you can jot these three simple things down. I have slides for them. Christ-like leadership in the marriage means this. Slide number one on this. I must embrace crucifixion and not dictatorship. I don't lead because my paycheck is bigger than your paycheck. We're living in a world now. Our ladies, paychecks are getting real nicely big, great, awesome, and bigger. And bigger. I don't lead because I'm the breadwinner. Paul says you want a healthy marriage? You choose crucifixion, not dictatorship. Point number two, in crucifixion, you give most, ouch, and receive least at times. It's not a matter of, I'll do this, but only if you'll do this for me. We see that in the world we're living in, don't we? In the culture we're living in. What have you done for me lately? We've written songs about it. That's the world we're living in today. I believe, Pastor, the world is looking and hungry for something that's real. There's something that they're not seeing. And when they get into that and they see that, they'll get in and want to follow Christ in such a way. We get to be a part of that. So listen, who do you think got the best part of the deal in the crucifixion? I'm going there. We got the best part of the deal. Somebody shout amen. Because Jesus went to the cross and we accept Jesus as our Savior, Lord, and He forgives us of our sins, we got the best part, right? And Jesus has died for us. So it's giving most, receiving least. Point number three, got another slide for you. When I choose that crucifixion, that form of leadership, it means this. Embrace is tough. This is tough, tough, tough. I have trouble with this. Embracing the cross means I forgive inexhaustibly. Whoa. Boy, I forgive. What does that mean? Forgiveness becomes a part of our nature. It becomes a part of all that we do. So the reason why this is so important is because crucifixion goes right to the heart and makes people vulnerable. When you choose the cross, Jesus, it humbles us and those around you. Let me show you this in Scripture. I think I've got another slide for you. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. It says this, together, when we begin to embrace this, let's look at this together. Verse 5, your attitude should be the kind that was shown us by Jesus, who, though He was God, can I tell you something? I got to say, this is not in my notes. If you really want to know that there's somebody that really loves the Lord, do something with them that's difficult. My father-in-law, I helped him. He was living in Atlanta. He had a little rental home, and we were down there staying over the weekend. This is years back. Paula hadn't been married not too long. And he was replacing siding on it. It had rotten. It was going away. It's an old German siding, we called it. Wooden siding. It's big sheets, plywood sheets of it. We put it up there. And I tell you what, we're working on it. And it's hotter than hot. Y'all, let me just say this. We got so tickled. We got behind a farmer the other day in last summer in Pella, and I heard him going at the register. My goodness, this humidity is so hot. This humidity is the worst humidity. It was at 60% that day. And we tapped him on the shoulder and we said, brother, you don't know humidity. Do you been in the South? It is the worst thing. We got the state bird called the mosquito in the South that will pick you up and carry you to your next door neighbor and drop you off. They're that big. But it's bad. When I pastored there in South Carolina, I had to carry an additional shirt. And what I did was when I got out of the car just to go in the church, I then took my shirt in my office and put a new shirt because it was sopping wet. That's how humidity it was. Somebody say, oh my. But I'm sitting there and my father-in-law and I'm holding that German siding with the best that I could. I'm getting up there and he's holding it with one and he's hitting it with the hammer. Not screws, not then. He's hitting it. He knew to do the screws then. He's hitting it and all of a sudden something slipped. And he was trying to hold it. Well, he misjudged, and he was back here, and he went on that left thumb. And it went, bam, and he, no joke, chaplain in the Assemblies of God. Here's what I want to know. What's my father-in-law made of? Here, am I going to have to cover my ears? And as God is my witness, I'm telling you what, he went, oh, sweet Jesus. And I went, I got a man of God there. I got a man of God there. He loves Jesus with all of his heart, mind, and soul. He goes, boy, hold that board. Are you crazy? When you're under that pressure, what comes out? Here's the thing. If we miss it and we blow it, and I have, I'll be the first to tell you. I love this as a follower of Christ. We get to come back and say, hey, brother, I think I offended you, and I'm sorry the way that I acted. That's the body of Christ. I think that's way more, at times, powerful. I love the sweet Jesus. I'm not sure if I would have said sweet Jesus. His thumb blew up, black and blue, like you wouldn't believe. It was bad. Oh, it was bad. But man, I told my wife, I said, I got a high bar now. I got to live up to your dad. Man, oh man, oh man, oh man. Look what it says here. Verse 7, but lay aside his mighty power and glory. Verse 6, who, though he was God, did not demand and cling to his rights as God, but laid aside his mighty power and glory, taking the disguise of a slave, a servant, and becoming like men. Verse 8, and he humbled, everybody in here say humbled, himself even further, going so far as actually to die a criminal's death on a cross. Verse 9, yet it was because of this that God raised him up to the heights of heaven, gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth, under the earth, look at verse 11, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory and to God the Father. Can we take a moment and just give the Lord a clap offering? Can we just do that? What he's done for you and me is amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. So, as we lay off our rights and choose the way of a servant, Jesus says, I came to serve and to not be served. But Brian, you don't know my neighbor. Or Brian, you don't know who I'm living with. Or Brian, you don't know the people that I'm around. That's so difficult. He never said it would be easy. He gives us a plan. Then the Bible says this, that God begins to set you up as a leader. Hear me. As we lay off the rights and choose the way of a servant, then the Bible says then God begins to set you up as a leader. If you set yourself up as a leader, trust me, that leadership at times is coming down. But let God set you up through humility. Watch that go up because the plan of how God does this. So, we get asked this a lot. What makes a great marriage? There's a lot of right answers. Y'all could give me a bunch of them. One of our main mantras at our marriage ministry is simply this: serve your spouse cheerfully ahead of yourself. Whoa. That makes a great marriage. Husbands and wives in this building today, this will take your marriage to a whole new level when we intentionally find ways to serve each other. Jesus said he didn't come to be served, but to serve, and makes a great leader. Serve. What makes a greater leader? I was asked that too. Serve more. When this is the model in our home, in our workplace, in our churches, the world begins to take notice and see and experience Jesus in such a beautiful way without one word. This kind of love, the cross Jesus love, is passionate, purifying, and providing. I don't have time to unpack that this morning, but maybe at another time. Maybe this morning you've come from a background of dysfunctional family. Guess what? You're in good company. Your Bible is full of people that God has used that are in dysfunctional families. Somebody say amen. There is hope for you and I. There just is. We can't let that, though, be a crutch. We can't let that be a hindrance to us. And really, God can use it to catapult you into some amazing legacy that you'll leave, because you'll lead differently. You'll guide differently. And it will leave a legacy for your family. Whether you know it or not, you're leaving a legacy. Did you know that? Good or bad? Why? Because you're living it. You're living it out before people. You just are. So, I want to tell you something. No matter what your upbringing may have been, good or bad, I was raised up in a home that believed in whipping, and that's not my message today. But we have taught our kids who are young, we've taught them the valuableness, they know it, of that part of it. Everybody has different. There's a timeout. If you would have put me in a timeout in a corner and put me in a corner, I'm going to write all over that wall. It's just going to go through one ear and out the other. For me, everybody's a little bit different. My son, when he got a little bit older and he thought he was too old to get a whipping. When that cell phone went bye-bye, oh, daddy, whip me. Oh, daddy, just go ahead and give me a whipping, but don't take the cell phone away. You'd have thought, my heavens, yeah. You just got to kind of find out what works for your kids. And what works for your kids may not work for somebody else. But they start driving. Ooh, where's the keys at, mama? Where's the keys at, daddy? You're not driving this weekend. Oh, daddy, mama, whip me. Do something. Because you got to find those things out. That's just free. I want to tell you, no matter what your upbringing have been, good or bad, Jesus, everybody shout amen. Jesus is our example on a healthy marriage. And guess what? Not your parents. I learned from my parents. Oh, I love them dearly. 80 and 81, they just turned. 80 and 81, living in South Carolina, out in the middle of the country. And I love them. I told Dad, I said, Dad, you want to move in town? Well, no. This is my home. I'm going to die right here. You're going to carry me out to home, and I'm going to be in heaven. So whatever you do with my body, you got to know my dad. And he don't want to leave that place. It's amazing. But there was things I learned, and there was things I didn't want to do. For my kids, I want to do it differently. It's good. We learn that way. The Bible didn't say love your wife as your dad did. It's love your wife as Jesus loved the church. And today, we have the same access to get that right. So, it's important. Paul says this one more time, if you would, back there. Ephesians 5. Look at this with me. I'm getting ready to close. 28 through 30, starting with verse 28. So, husbands ought to also to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. Verse 29 in chapter 5 of Ephesians. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. So let's unpack that super quickly, and we're going to close this morning. You guys have been so attentive. Thank you. Because you got to get this part. The Apostle Paul was saying, if a man ignores his wife's needs, he's hurting himself. That's what he's saying. Now listen to me. This is not what we do today. We don't drive home. We don't bump our spouse and say, you know what? You're not fulfilling my needs. That message should have been right. Y'all just all hang in here. That word is for all of us in this place today. We got to give grace. Somebody shout amen. We just do. That's what he's saying. He's saying this. He said, if a man ignores his wife's needs, he's hurting himself. It's like when you don't take care of yourself physically, you ignore her needs. The home becomes sabotaging. When it's all about you, you're sabotaging the home. We actually give a book out in the marriage ministry out to a husband and their wife. When they come, we've got a ministry called Marriage Love Restored. It's for marriages that are in crisis. You guys are coming to what we call the enrichment. It's to get the balloons. We're going to have a good time. We're going to learn together. We're going to eat together. We're going to fellowship together. You're going to have a great room. These rooms are like $295 to $395 a night if we were retailing them. It's an amazing, you'll get an amazing stay. I promise you. You'll have fun. But now let your hair down. We dress pretty. We dress pretty normal. Wear your jeans. I mean, you just come comfortable. We got people coming there with sweats. I mean, it's. But you're going to stay somewhere. You're going to have a good time on this. But there's a book that we hand out, and Pastor Mike, I bet you've heard about it, from Dr. Harley. And it's His Needs, Her Needs. And so this is marriages that can be on the brink of divorce. And in a moment, don't hit the slide yet. I'm going to do it in just a minute. I want you to hear this. But it's a book called His Needs, Her Needs, and I highly recommend it. And in that book, Dr. Harley takes 15,000, everybody say 15,000, questionnaires. 20 years, everybody say 20 years, of counseling. He listed down 5 major needs of women and 5 major needs of men. This is really good. Get your phones ready if you want to take a picture. But we're going to put this first one. Get your phones ready. 5 major needs of women. Check this out. The 5 major needs, 1 through 5, 1 through 5, affection. This isn't just hands all over them, even though that's fun, but feeling protected and cherished. Number 2, conversation. When we say conversation, we're not saying, hey, honey, did you fill the car up with gas? It's not that. Number 3, honesty and openness. That's a big deal. You're able to go deeper in those conversations. 4, financial support and fit. These are big. These are top 5. There's more, but these are top 5. And then lastly, family commitment. They want to know you're going to be there. Now, get ready. Put it up on the screen in just a moment. These are the 5 major needs of men. Get your phone ready. You ready? Let's hit it. Number 1. Sexual fulfillment. I'm just going to say something. That's number 1. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to keep it PG. That's number one in a man. Number two, recreational companionship. Pastor, there was just some folks that just went right there. Recreational companionship. What is that? That intrigued me, Dave. That intrigued me. How many of you in here like to fish, or guys? Guys, how many of you, I mean, it's just fun. Ladies, don't raise your hand. I look for the. If you don't like to fish, what they're saying is, believe it or not, if your man doesn't always ask you to go with them fishing, every once in a while, Paul and I hunt. You're getting nervous now. Paul and I hunt together, not all the time, but I get her up in the deer stand because her daddy took her hunting. So I'm a deer hunter. I love the deer hunt. It's my outlet. I love it. I love it. I love it. When I don't see a deer, I had a great day. I like turkey hunting too. But I took her up there. We just enjoy the day, don't we, babe? We enjoy the scenery. Now, she knows it's my outlet. So she's not with me on every hunting trip. But I didn't realize how much I liked that when she was with me. It was amazing. Some of you men just went, uh-oh. No, you didn't. But every once in a while, that wife just ought to say, baby, I'm going with you. I got the tackle box and we're going. Just have a good time. Number three, an attractive spouse. You might think, well, that sounds pretty shallow. Let me be real clear about that and what the author was saying here. What that means is after you get married, you're not always walking around all the time in your pajamas all day. Every day. It's okay to pluck those eyebrows every once in a while. Somebody needs to say amen. It's just okay. Number four, domestic support. What are you saying there, Brian? Do you know what that means? It's not finances. They are talking about this when I come home from the battlefield, us guys. A difficult day. I want to come to a refuge. I want to know that things are good at home. I want to experience some peace at home. Knowing I have a place to go. It can be a process. Please don't walk away from today going, here's my list. Start it today, brother. No, that's not what we're looking for. But this is something that we can be intentional with our spouse on this. I would have a conversation this week and say, hey, those five deeds, I would look at your spouse and say, did you relate to that? What were some of those that you related to? Use that time to maybe get on a road of discovery. And then lastly, five needs of a man, the most top five. Ready? Admiration. Ladies, respect is super important at all times. Even, hear me, when you feel that you're not being respected. We want that to be a two-way street. But remember old 1 Peter? It says the conduct of a wife transform godly conduct. And it says if you're speaking of, it can be man or woman, but when you're speaking of that, it says that by your deeds, if you had a lost husband, by your very deeds, your actions, that he might be won. There's no words there. That's just by act. It's amazing. I'm going to tell you something. That's a good scripture, right? That sounds good. Godly conduct transform. Amen. But until you live that, we've known some couples where the spouse was not saved and one went to church every Sunday. And we know one, there 13 years of that. 13 years. She'd come home and the husband would make fun of her for coming to church. Oh, were you at that Holy Roller church? And she told us all the stories afterwards. Can I tell you something? God did a miracle in his life. He finally came to an Easter. He only comes twice a year, Easter and Christmas. He comes to an Easter and he really gets born again. He gets saved. And guess what? That couple today, he owned a tire shop, sold it all. He's in the ministry right now through the Church of God in Asheboro, North Carona. And you know what he'll tell you? It was her godly conduct that transformed me. Woo! Can somebody get happy about that? So if you've got a spouse that's away from God right now, oh, get that 1 Peter out. I think it's 1 Peter 3:1. Get it out. Get it in your system. And I'll pray that it not take 13 years. Somebody say amen. Woo! But let me bring this to a close. There are no problems too big to solve. Just people too small to solve them. That's not a weakness. Let me say that again. There are no problems too big to solve, just people too small to solve them. There are no problems, your marriage, your home, that are too big to solve. It's just people are too small to solve them, which means we have to choose the cross. Because why? the price for a great marriage, and we got great marriages in here. Here's what we tell folks in our seminars. You'll see this when you come. We're going to tell it. You're going to see it on a chalkboard. On one side, it's going to say good marriage. On the other side, it's going to have 10 spots. It's going to say great marriage. And here's what we do. We let the pressure off of everybody. If we can move it from a good, and there might be horrible, bad, not good. That might be the case. You got to come. But if we can move it two notches over to a great marriage, man, we just feel like job well done. So I want to take the pressure off of you. Men, when you come to this retreat, we're not sitting down and telling you everything you're doing wrong. We don't make the list. None of that. We get on the road of discovery. We want to see your marriage just continue to be rich in God's mercy and His love, and just see a love grow and maybe learn some things that you never knew before. And it's going to come right out of your Bible. So, Jesus lost His life, and you and I get to gain for forgiveness and to gain eternity because of His sacrifice. Oh. If we could just for a moment, if we could just close our eyes just for a moment in this place today. I'd like to, no one please looking around. I know a lot of preachers do that, but I'm doing this differently, especially before a salvation call. If you're here this morning, you're lost and you don't know Christ, here's what I'm going to do. You need to get with Pastor. You need to get with Alicia. You say, you know what? Things are not right with me. I need to get saved. I'm all about, when I pastored, we're all about altar calls. But we specifically just wanted to cue in on marriages. But no one looking out. I like to get a little temperature of the room. Everyone, your eyes are closed this morning all around the sanctuary. I just want to get a feel of the room. If you're here and you wish, this is no judgment, nothing, but you wish, no one's looking, you wish your, not even your spouse is looking right now, you wish your marriage was just a little better. Would you just, as a couple, maybe you both feel this way, would you just open your eyes to me real quickly? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Okay, look at me. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Here's what I'm going to share with you. If you're married, if you're a married couple here today, or you're married and you have a spouse that's not here for whatever reason, trip away from God, it's for you too. Would you do me a favor? Would you just stand to your feet right where you're at? If you're married, your spouse is here, stand with them to your feet right where you're at. If your spouse is not here and for whatever reason, you stand as well. Again, any single parents that we have in the house, God bless you. We love you. You're superheroes. Here's what we want to do, and I ask Pastor permission. I'm big on that. First of all, I want to say this. Pastor, again, thanks for having Paul and I. Babe, would you come up here and meet me here? I don't know them, but I know of them, and they have a tremendous reputation in this area. I'm actually going to be at council. We're going to be there. We got a booth there. The ministry does. You have to come by and see us. We got great chocolates, Alicia. We'll give you some chocolates for free. And we're going to be there. Paula may be there for one of the days. She actually does a lot of those with me. A good friend of mine, y'all know them, love them, Carrie and Wanda Van Campen. They're part of our ministry. We love them. They'll be there. And so we're just grateful. But here's what we know. Year 8, this is real. This is rubber meeting the road. Year 8, we're in the ministry. We're growing a tremendous church. We planted it from scratch. In our hometown, nobody goes back to their hometown and plant a church. It's the plant from scratch. But you guys are from here, right? Okay, yeah. I know I talked to Alicia too. Great story. Okay. But year 8, we were winning the world, weren't we, baby? We were winning the world. People just left and right, church. We had two small kids. We're going after it, and guess what? We were both raised, never say divorce in our home. Both of us was raised in Christian homes. Not perfect, Christian homes. And all of a sudden, we begin to throw around the divorce word. And all of a sudden, we were growing apart. And all of a sudden, we were getting very intense with our conversation, very ugly. And boy, we walk in on church on Sunday. Hey, bless God. Glory to God. Bless your little heart. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I know I'm not here with a bunch of righteous people that's never had those moments where your voice, why is your voice hoarse when you got to church? It's kind of a little hoarse there. Oh, well, you know, there's a ball game. There's no ball game last night. Why? What? Okay, I'm meddling now. But I've been there. And so I was sitting there and I said, I'll never forget it. It got this bad, Pastor. We're just real. My wife and I, we are real, real. A lot of people would think we were in those days Italian, and we have no Italian blood in us with our conversation. But here's the deal. It got so rough. She grabbed a suitcase, threw it on the bed. True story. Started putting clothes in the suitcase. You know what I did? The only thing a smart guy could do at that time. Mama didn't raise no dummy. I grabbed my suitcase and I threw it on the other side of the bed and I started packing, and she says, "What are you doing?" True story. "What are you doing?" Well, I know one thing. Wherever you go, I go. That's the only thing I could do. But what that did is it touched her heart. And she was like, "Man, you're passionate about me. You love me." And men sometimes, I wasn't going to do this, get emotional, but sometimes we get like that. Just the cares of the life and all that. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll just feel like we're roommates, but not married. And God didn't intend that. So I want to pray for you. Can I do that? I want you to come. I want you to come. I want you to do everything. I know there's some graduations. You got to do that. I get that. I want you, any other thing, I want you to move your schedules. I'm that way. We're in a major crisis in America right now. The world has gone wild. And I believe the church at times, I'm not talking about the four walls, you and I, the church, are sleeping. And we need to get shook up, woke up in some good ways. Because Jesus is coming back soon. So I want you to come. We're going to throw that slide up here in a minute. I'm going to share a couple things. Turn it back over to the pastor, but let's pray. Father, I love every couple, every person in this place. I've never met them, and maybe some, but I've never met all. But God, through your son Jesus, I love them all. I'm so grateful. God, thank you for the couples that are here this morning. God, I pray that you refresh them. You refresh them, renew them. Lord, I pray that every marriage in here is on that meter of greatness. Oh, God, that's awesome. But Lord, I saw the eyes. I saw the eyes. And it doesn't mean that things are just horrible. It just means we're in a bump. We're in a rut. We're in a season. And so, God, I pray that you visit them by the power of the Holy Spirit. Rest on them. Renew them. Renew their marriage. Renew them, Lord. Let them come to places that are a place in their marriage of peacefulness and honoring one another and serving one another. It's step by step. And so, God, I pray. Lord, if we've got a couple here that literally are on the verge of divorce, I pray that even through this today, this morning, they'll feel the love of Jesus. They'll feel the hand of Christ be an extension to them and saying, "We can make it. You can make it. You can make it." And so, God, I just pray in Jesus' name that you be with every couple, every person that's seated here today too, Lord. Refresh them, renew them in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Sit down for a quick second. If you'll give me that last, God bless you guys going back there and getting in the sound room and with your husband. That's awesome. But if you'll put up that slide about the communications. Oh, y'all been good. Oh, here we go. So what you can do is you can do this if you want to. If those of you that are savvy on a phone, here's what I would do. I'm going to do it with you. I got it right here. If you'll put that number in your phone, go ahead and text. Put that number in there. 641-931-4497, and then text the word engage. Put engage in the comments and click send. You're going to get a link. And in that link, I got it right here. It's popping up. Here's what's cool, Pastor. This is the coolest thing. It's going to look just like this. It's going to have your church name on there. Right there. It's what you're going to get. Now, you click the button to register it. Okay? If you need help to get paid, Pastor's got some plans here. Some money's came in. But you'll see that. Here's what I want you to do, though. If you can't attend or you are going to attend, maybe you've already one of the five couples that have already attended, take that link and send it. to a family member that needs help. I think we're in good company for that, right, Pastor? It's just amazing how I've seen churches do that and how they love on people that don't attend their church and they become attenders. And we've seen that happen. I think you'd be okay with that, Pastor. I think everybody in this room would be okay with that. So I want to encourage you with that. Take time out. If you need help to register this morning, see me or Paula. We'll walk you through it, make it easy, but we sure do. We sure do hope you get to come. And listen, if you can't come, graduation, all that, there'll be another time. Well, it'll happen. I promise you, when the couples that are coming and how y'all will talk when y'all leave, of like, we had a great time, it was good, and you're going to connect with other people in your church. It's just a neat time. We've had pastors come back and go, you know, I kind of knew Billy, but I didn't know Billy, and Billy's a pretty good guy, you know? And so they're thinking about that right now, probably for Dave. Dave's probably that guy, you know? I think Dave is probably a really... Dave's looking at me like, what did I say or do? Oh, my gosh. I just remembered him. This is my dad's name and my brother's name, so I can remember him. So God bless you. We love you. And Pastor, oh, here you go. Thank you for letting me be here this morning. Y'all are so attentive. Amen.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that picks on Dave. So that's wonderful. So let me just put it back out there. We have scholarships available. I don't want anyone's marriage to be on the brinks of falling apart because we didn't put some intentionality to it. Lish and I have been married 14 years this year. I can't act like we know everything because we don't. We're still babies. However, this will be the second time we've intentionally put into our marriage. And I can say that our marriage is stronger today because we did last year, Weekend to Remember. We never prayed together for the first 13 years of our marriage. She begged me, I need you to pray with me. And as a husband, one, vulnerability. Why do I want to put myself out there for my wife to dissect? Two, because I'm not holy enough to lead my wife in prayer. It was almost an embarrassment. But after going through Weekend to Remember and doing the homework, when we're able to lay out to each other what's happening, prayer was the number one issue in our marriage. I think we maybe missed less than 3 nights. There's been travel and sickness. But there's been probably less than 3 nights in the past year that we haven't prayed together before we have gone to bed. Transformative in our marriage, I would say. And so, with that being said, I kind of chose Gordon and Sherry to be the ones that I pick on. But if you've been married, how long have you guys been married? They got to think about it. They got to count. 60 years. Praise the Lord for that, first off. And I know you guys are farming and you won't be there, but marriages like this are marriages that you can glean from, okay? They've seen a lot more life than most of us have, and they've been through the hard times and the good times, and I'm so thankful for you guys in our church. And Dal and Patty, how long have you been married? 67. Arvin and Crystal, how long? 50. And Marvin D, how long have you been married? 57. See, listen, we got some, how long? 26. All right. Listen, yeah, it's all for celebration. Listen, though, if you are married and you have been married less than 67 years, we can go to Dal and Patty. And there's things that we can learn. And so I when we first started announcing this, I said, if we are willing to spend money to become better at golf, if we're willing to spend money to buy a better shotgun to turkey hunt, because those exist, I'm still using the $200 one I bought at auction when I was 16. if we're willing to put performance parts on our toys, shouldn't we be willing to put a little investment into our marriage? And so with that being said, we have scholarships. Please let me pay for you to go. There's been people in our church who have stepped up to make that possible. So, Stacy, would you please come and let's just close in the song that you had for worship. a different kind of layout for today. If you need to be right with Jesus, please see me. I want to lead you through that. Two, we do believe in altar calls here. If you need to just spend some time in the glory of God, if you need prayer, you want the laying on of hands during this worship song, let me invite you to come to the altar so we can do so. Let's pray before we get into it. Heavenly Father, Lord, you know the hearts of every individual here. You know every situation. You know where every marriage stands this morning. Lord, I pray that you gave them a glimpse of hope this morning. You put a little bit of light into the darkness of their marriage. Lord, even just personal situations. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would free them, that you would renew them, that you would restore them in the name of Jesus right now this morning. Lord, that they would leave here having hope. Lord, that they would find new purpose to go about in their days for their marriage and the various situations. Lord, I pray that your glory would be known, that your name would be known, that we would see things happen in marriages here in this building today, that in 5 years from now, we can say this became about because of this decision today. Lord, I pray that for all the communities that we have represented here, that we would be able to be a light unto them because of the choices that we make here today for you. So, Lord, I pray that as we close in a song, Lord, you would so stir the hearts of the people to respond to you. In Jesus' precious, holy, worthy, and matchless name, everybody said, amen. Let's stand to our feet.